Good afternoon, everyone. Earlier in that chapter, Jesus said, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine," Jesus is a vine, "so neither can you unless you abide in me." Again, he says, "I'm the vine and you're the branches. He who abides in me and I in him," that's the second time he said, "and I in him. If anyone does not abide in me," but when we get to verse 7 that Brett read, "if you abide in me," and instead of saying, "I abide in you," he says, "and my words abide in you." Interesting. Is that like, is he saying two different things? Or is he giving a fuller explanation of what it means for him to abide in us? Now remember that when Jesus wrote this, all the people he wrote this to, or when John wrote this, everybody didn't have a copy of the New Testament. I mean, there were some people who had different parchments and fragments of what had been written, but the words of Christ that were passed on, but not because they all had Bibles. And he says something fascinating in John 14. He says, talks about the Holy Spirit. He says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. And that is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not behold him or know him. But you know him because he abides with you and will be in you." And so this helper, who's called the Spirit of truth, is going to be in you. In verse 26 of chapter 15, "And when the helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father," that is the Spirit of truth again, "who proceeds to the Father, he will bear witness of me." In chapter 16, chapter 16. "But I tell you the truth," verse 7, "it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. But when he, the Spirit of truth," third time he said that, "comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. He will glorify me, and he will take of mine and shall disclose it to you." And so the Holy Spirit, as we've said before, is our tour guide into this union with Christ. The very fact that you've been grafted into the life of Jesus, and therefore he's been grafted into your life, you've been woven into the fabric of his existence, and therefore he's woven in the fabric of your existence. It's Jesus Christ himself who lives the Christian life. The most important thing a Christian ever discovers, having become a Christian, is that the Christian life isn't difficult, it's impossible. And there's only one person who can live that life, and his name is Jesus. And he's grafted himself to you so he can live that life out through your humanity with your cooperation. That's this relationship. But the Holy Spirit lives in us to make that real, to make that vivid, to be our tour guide into that life. He's called our helper three times. But also three times, he's referred to as the Spirit of truth. Now, Jesus said in the same story, in the same conversation, in this upper room discourse, his last conversation with his disciples before his crucifixion, Jesus said, "I am the way, and I am the truth, and I am the life." So, this Spirit of truth, who will lead us into all truth, who will take what belongs to Jesus and disclose it to us, who won't speak on his own initiative, but only speak those things he hears. The Holy Spirit's constantly revealing to us who Christ is to us, what Christ is saying in us and to us. We live by the words that proceed out of the mouth of God. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing the word Christ. Now, people think that's about the Bible, but again, there are a lot of people in the world who are Christians who don't have the Bible, but they all have the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the voice of Christ in us. And the Holy Spirit does lead us into all truth. He doesn't say he leads all educated people into all truth. He doesn't say he leads all people who can read and write. He doesn't say he leads us to people who have seminary degrees. He leads us, plural, into all truth, into all that's Jesus. And so when Jesus says, if you abide in me, if you settle into, if you remain and stay in this place of trusting and resting in me, he says, then I will rest in you, and I will trust you with my life. And so when he says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, he's talking about how this life works, how this way of life that Jesus lives works. And the Holy Spirit's constantly revealing Christ to us, and the Holy Spirit's constantly, as our tour guide into this life, this way of life that Jesus lives through us, he's constantly speaking words of life, the words of Christ in us. So when Jesus says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, he's saying, if you abide in me, if you'll rest in me, if you'll trust in me, my words will rest in you, will settle in you, and will treat you as if you're trustworthy. In other words, that the Lord, the more we learn to simply sink into those things that Jesus says, to yield to them, trusting him, that he's going to make real that which he says, the more things he's going to share with us. He'll lead us into bigger things and deeper things because he's proving that we're trustworthy to surrender to who he is in us. We're trustworthy to surrender to the words he's speaking to us. That makes sense to you? There's a place in Colossians, this is really familiar, Colossians chapter 3, he says a couple of things that are kind of neat. Verse 15, he says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Don't make the peace of Christ rule in your heart. Don't beg for the peace of Christ to rule in your heart. He says, just let it happen. Because the peace of Christ is there. Christ is there. Just let it happen. But then the very next thing he says, and let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom. Not just richly dwell within you, but abide in you, spread out, settle in. Treat you as if you're trustworthy to obey, to surrender to what he speaks. Richly dwell within us. So let me give you an example. I was talking to the Lord about something recently, and I said, Lord, obsessing over this. Now, that's my tendency anyway, is to have obsessive thinking. And so I can dwell on stuff I'm trying to learn, which is good, but when my flesh pattern, all of us have different flesh patterns, right? And so one of my primary flesh patterns is fear. Well, that's not a good thing if you're obsessive, because then you obsessively are fearful. Like you lock into stuff and you try to figure it out, try to anticipate what's going to happen. I know that none of you ever do that, but that happens to me from time to time. So I'm telling the Lord, so Lord, I obsess over things. And the Lord's, the word of Christ in me, abide in me, and my words abide in you. So his word now abide in me. And the Holy Spirit said the words of Christ to me. He said, I don't obsess about anything, but I possess everything. Oh, wow. You see, what that says is the Lord doesn't cause everything, does he? But he does cause everything to work together for good. You can't do that unless you own it, unless you're in control of it. Again, I didn't say he causes everything. But even the things that the devil causes, the Lord possesses. He takes ownership over. And when you possess things, when you have ownership, you can cause those things to to work the way you want them to. Let me give you a couple of scriptures. This is from, I like this one from Job. Now let this sink in and don't try to explain it away. Let it say what it says. Now Job has gone through a really hard time, right? He's lost a lot. He's having a bad hair day, multiple hair days. Then God's speaking. And God says, who has given to me that I should repay them? Whatever is under the whole earth, whatever is under the whole heaven is mine. That's a lot. And I take that to mean more than just stuff. It means all that's going on. And I love this one. This is Psalm 138, verse 8. Now, New American Standard says, the Lord will accomplish what concerns me. I like that. But the King James Version gets this one right, because the word accomplish can also be translated perfected. And the Lord will perfect what concerns me. Because he possesses all things. He's Lord. I don't know if that blows you away, but it blew me away. But here's the deal. What if he had said that to me and I go, oh, that's cool, and start obsessing some more? If I abide in him and his words abide in me, he said, I'll be fruitful. I'll manifest the likeness of Christ. And so when he told me, I don't obsess over things, Chuck. I possess everything, Chuck. I knew what he was saying. And I was able to sink into that and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you. And there, then when that happened, the peace of Christ began to rule. Because I can't control anything. And when I try to, it gets yucky. You ever notice that? When you can't control stuff, it gets yucky. And we want to control stuff so we'll have peace. Well, we can have peace because he controls stuff. And that's what I mean. It's not just his word was spoken into me. The Holy Spirit wasn't just guiding me into all truth. I actually surrendered to the truth. And then the truth set me free. That's how this life works. It therefore involves relationship. And you know what? It will work even for people. I've met a bunch of people around the world who can't read or write, who have stunning relationships with Jesus. And I thought, how's that possible? Like, they don't go to Bible study. They can't do their devotional with the scripture. They don't have access to Bethel music so they can listen to worship during their quiet time. You know, they don't have Christian think groups that sit around. They just, some of them live in dung huts. But they're just like being led. Why? Because the Spirit of God will lead them into all truth. Do I like the scriptures? Yeah, of course. I'm a Bible teacher. It's the Word of God for dummies. And I'm a dummy, so I'm grateful. It makes it easier. But I can't find that those exact words, what I just said to you. I don't even place a scripture where it says, I possess all things. I don't obsess over anything. But it certainly is found to be truth in Scripture, right? Nothing he tells you will contradict Scripture. But I'm so grateful for the Holy Spirit who promised to be our helper. And he's our helper by leading us into all things Jesus. And that involves his words, at least includes his words being spoken in me. Because as his words speak in me and I surrender to that, he's abiding in me. He's settling in. He's stretching out. He's trusting me with more stuff. Amen? Amen. Alrighty. Name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen?